Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1939. The makers of Maxwell House Coffee welcome you to another hour of entertainment brought to you by the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios in Hollywood. Tonight you will hear the regular Good News gang, Colonel Frank Morgan, Fanny Bryce, Henry Stafford, Francis Arms, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and three distinguished guests whom you'll hear about in a moment. And here is your host for this evening, His Honor, the Mayor of Tarzana, Robert Young.
Thank you, Warren, and good evening, friends. Our guests tonight, the stars of Metro's new romantic comedy, Lucky Night, Myrna Loy and Robert Taylor. In addition, a radio star who's visited our Good News program often before, Connie Bardwell. Now, with this magnificent lineup of talent, Meredith Wilson has figured it out that the way to start the program is for him to play Gotta Get Some Shut-Eye and for me to sing the second chorus. What a showman. Come on, Meredith, hit it. I'll grab on when I see an opening. Gotta get some shut-eye, give the world to go by. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do. Gotta catch some shut-eye, where the kisses flow by. Got an awful lot of dreams to come true. Gonna let that sandman sprinkle me with stars. Only hope that old man's lighter lets me hold my baby tighter. So I'm going bye-bye. Catch myself some shut-eye. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with...
Excuse me, please, but Jack, is this the Maxwell House program?
Why, yes, it is.
Can you tell me, please, where am I going to find a Mr. Morgano?
Well, what is it you want of him?
Well, I tell you, I want to open a nicer club in a little town that she's called Tarzana.
Tarzana?
Sure. You know, Morgan and the mayor is alike a death. You know, two crooks... They stick it together.
Hey, now, wait a minute. The mayor of Tarzana is a crook?
Oh, sure. But I needed a license for my cafe. So, Pringle Morgan, he told me he's going to bribe the mayor.
Oh, Morgan's going to bribe the mayor of Tarzana, is he?
Yeah.
Well, just a minute. Hey, Frank.
You calling me, sir, Colonel Morgan, sir? I'll be with you, directly, my boy, as soon as I've down my evening julep.
Yeah, never mind your evening julep, Colonel. Come here.
As you please, son. Good evening, ma'am. Mighty pleasant weather we're having.
What's the matter? You nuts?
Oh, you're the...
What? Did you ever see this lady before?
No, I don't. We never get that. I got to get back to my plantation. If you'll just excuse me, ma'am, we are short of field hands this year, and the cotton is about right for picking that week.
Did you tell this woman you were going to bribe the mayor of Tarzana so she could open a nightclub?
A nightclub at Tarzana? No, madam. There must be some mistake.
What's the matter?
You know bribe with the mayor yet?
Stark.
Give it back to my $16.
Why, madam, you mean to tell me this unscrupulous man took
$16? Shut up. Mr. Morgan. Are you telling me you're going to fix me up?
Yes,
and now you're fixing me down? What's the matter?
Here's your $16. Now, don't bother me anymore. I can't...
Oh, thank you too much. You know half of the bribe with the mayor?
Madam, please. This man we're talking to is the mayor of Tarzana.
What do you say, please?
Yes, happen to be the mayor...
Shut up. Mr. Morgan, what was that the last crack you made?
I said Mr. Young here is the mayor of Tarzana.
Oh, excuse me, please, Mr. Young. I was just to make a big joke. Oh, you're nice and sweet, the boy, and you give me the license, huh?
Now, listen, Bob, why don't you give the woman a break and let her have the...
Shut up! What do you say, Mr. Tarzana? Are you going to let me off into my nice club?
Bob, if I may presume to advise you in this case, I don't think this establishment is going to be any adornment to Tarzana.
Oh, thank you too much for the compliment.
I agree with you, Frank. The operation of such a cafe would be positively detrimental to our community.
Oh, boy, you're such a sweet fellow. I have to give you a nice little kiss.
Thank you. Well, madam, I cannot grant you the license.
No license? Hey, what's the matter? I told you, it's going to be a nice, high-class club. I make the best spaghetti in the whole world. I take onions and garlic, lots, put them in a pot and I mix them up. Then I spring a little bit more garlic.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How do you eat it?
Eat it? You can't get near it.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't let you open in Tarzana, but here's $25. Go open a cafe in Encino.
Oh, no, I can't. No, can't do that to Mr. Young.
Why not?
Well, because the mayor of Encino, he given me $50 to open a Tarzano.
That's Jolson for you.
It's now my pleasure to welcome to our good news program that charming product of old New Orleans, Connie Boswell. She sings the top ballad of the day, Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven can wait. This is paradise. Just being here with you and breathing the air you do. Heaven can wait. Darling, it's true. This is paradise. Gazing at all your charm, it's heavenly in your arms. Heaven can wait. You must be an angel, warm as visit from the sky. Now I look at heaven when I look into your eyes. Heaven can wait, this is paradise, loving the way we do. Until I go there with you, heaven can wait. Heaven can wait, this is paradise, just being here, sweetheart, with you, and breathing the air you do, heaven can wait. You must be an angel on the desert from the sky. Now I hope that heaven when I look into your eyes. Heaven can wait. This is paradise, loving the way we do. Until I go there with you, heaven can wait. My darling, I've missed a million dunes, or many, many moons. And now that I found you,
thank you very much, Connie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Brice as Baby Snook. Last week, Snook and Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, returned very late from a visit to the country. Daddy found himself without a door key and had to break a window in order to get into the house. We picked him up tonight where we left off last week.
What a night. Almost got arrested, had to break a window and ruin a $15 vase. On top of that, I won't get 5 hours sleep, and I have you to thank for it.
You're welcome, Daddy.
Oh, keep quiet. Now get undressed as quickly as you can and go to bed.
Where's my ice cream?
Ice cream? What do you want with ice cream at 1 o'clock in the morning?
You promised me some ice cream.
I'll promise you a good spanking if you're not in bed in 30 seconds. Now, which do you want? Ice cream or a licking? Well, what are you yelling about?
Because I know which I'll get.
Well, don't aggravate me anymore. Now, go to bed.
Here's some letters, Daddy.
Well, leave them on the table. I'll read them in the morning.
Read them now.
Oh, no. It's nothing but a lot of bills, anyhow. Bills, bills, bills.
Bills, bills, bills.
Oh, stop that. Now, Snooks, will you go to sleep?
I want some ice cream.
No!
Then read the bills.
Oh, all right. Give them to me. Ah. Well, this is from the insurance company. Oh, boy. This is a pretty kettle of fish.
Tell me the fish, Daddy.
Ah, there isn't any fish.
I want some ice cream and fish.
Now, listen, Snook. I won't tolerate any nonsense tonight. This is one night I must get some sleep.
Why?
Because the insurance doctor's coming in the morning, and I have to be in good physical shape.
Why?
So I can get a policy.
What's a policy, Daddy?
Will you promise not to ask any more questions if I tell you?
Uh-huh, I promise.
Well, a policy is something the insurance company issues that takes care of my family in the event of a calamity. Good night.
Good night. What's a calamity?
Oh, go to sleep. I'm going to lie down in here, too. Good night.
Good night, Daddy. Daddy!
Well?
Is a calamity a baby clam?
No. Calamities have nothing to do with clams.
Does clams have policies?
No. Only people. It's a protection against trouble. I have a wife and children, so I must be protected against trouble. Is that clear?
No. When did you get in trouble, Daddy?
When I got a wife and children.
Huh?
Nothing. Now go to sleep and let me rest. Good night.
Good night, Daddy. Daddy.
Oh, what do you want?
Has Uncle Louie got any children?
No. A lucky stiff.
My teacher ain't got any children.
I can't help it.
Why?
Go to sleep.
Has our cat got any children?
Yes, our cat's got children.
Has Mrs. Flick got any children?
No.
Just Mommy and the cat.
Yes. Now listen, you. I don't want to hear another sound out of you. I want you to be so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
All right, Daddy.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh.
Let it drop, Daddy.
Huh? Snooks, if you don't let me sleep, I'll be a wreck in the morning, and I'll never get that policy.
What's a policy, Daddy?
It's insurance. You pay a premium to the insurance company, and they pay you if anything happens. Last week, this company paid $10,000 for 50 broken arms.
What do they want the broken arms for, Daddy?
They don't want the broken arms.
Then why did they buy them?
Nobody buys anything. Every time there's an accident, somebody gets paid off. Yesterday, a man breaks his leg, gets $500. Today, somebody else breaks his neck and gets $800.
Hmm. Do you think you'll be the lucky one tomorrow, Daddy?
Oh, stop that. After all, insurance is a very good thing. Why, just suppose I'm waiting for a streetcar and I accidentally swallow my nickel. You know what I do?
You walk.
No, I telephone my insurance company.
You can't do it.
Well, why not?
Because you swallowed your nickel.
Oh, don't be silly. If I swallow a nickel, the insurance company costs up $5,000.
Huh?
I said if I swallowed a nickel, the insurance company costs up the money.
Well, how can they cough it up if you swallowed it, Daddy?
I mean, they pay me the money. For every type of accident, you get a certain amount.
How much?
Well, they give me $2,500 if I break both legs and sprain both knees.
Why?
Because that's insurance. I can get a flat sum of $3,000 if I waive the knees.
How much do you get if you don't waive your head?
Oh, why am I discussing insurance with you at this time of the night? Go to sleep.
I am sleepy.
Oh, no? Well, I guess I can stay up as long as you can. I'll wear you out. I'll read all this mail to you. How would you like that?
I like it.
Oh, well, we'll see. Now, here's one from the market. Grocery, $13.56. Delicatessen and beverages, $5.14. Fruits and vegetables, $11.27. Meats, $8.93.
Read some more, Daddy.
Okay, okay. City Water Department, Main Office, City Hall. To avoid delay, bring this card with you. Present, 825. Previous, 865. 100 feet consumed, 32. This bill is due and payable upon presentation. If not paid within 15 days, service may be discontinued without further notice.
That's enough, Daddy. I'm sleepy.
Oh, no, you don't. You asked for it, now you're going to get it. Bomb cleaners and dyers. Gray dress, 75 cents. Child's blue coat, 50 cents. Green skirt, shortened.
Oh, go to sleep, Daddy.
All right, Snooks. Snooks?
Huh?
Whose green skirt is that?
Mommy.
Why?
I don't know. I want to sleep.
Oh, I ain't sleepy.
Well, I am.
Then tell me a story.
No, go to bed. Go to sleep, Daddy.
If you don't tell me a story, I'll choke myself till my head drops off. You give up? Now maybe you'll behave, huh? Well, good night, Snooks.
Hey, Warren, you seem to have a dreamy look in your eye.
Well, Bob, I was just wondering how Joel Sheik would feel if he were standing here tonight. If he saw the stars we have with us, if he knew of all the millions of people across the country who listen for this program every Thursday, I'll bet he'd remember a little prophecy.
What was that, Warren?
Well, Bob, there was an evening more than 50 years ago when a famous cotillion was being given at the old Maxwell House in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's look in. Stately mansion is ablaze with soft candlelight. Fragrance of magnolia blossoms fills the air. The bells of the old South are swirling with their bow in an old waltz. Joel Cheek is looking on from the sidelines. Suddenly, a man comes walking up to Joel Cheek. He's the manager of Maxwell House.
Good evening, Mr. Cheek. You know, this coffee of yours is going to make our reputation. Why, people are even writing from other towns to learn what kind it is, where they can buy it. Mr. Cheek, I wouldn't be surprised to see your blend become one of the most famous coffees in the world someday.
And friends, that prophecy actually has come true. Millions of people have come to know Maxwell House coffee and pronounced it perfect. For you see, ever since Joel Cheek first created it more than 50 years ago, we've never ceased our efforts to make Maxwell House the very finest coffee money could buy. And today, not only has the famous Maxwell House blend been still more marvelously enriched, but there's the amazing new radiant roast process we've developed, which roasts each coffee bean evenly all the way through. And so brings out all the true natural goodness of this superb new coffee. So if you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, won't you get a pound tomorrow? You'll discover with your very first delicious cup why the new Maxwell House is bringing pleasure to so many millions. You'll see why now, more than ever, it's the time to make friends with Maxwell House.
Now in honor of Cole Porter's arrival at the MGM studio, where he is to compose the score for the new musical Broadway melody, Meredith brings you his song that made history 10 years ago, Night and Day.
That was really awfully good. Didn't you think so, Your Honor?
Oh, go away. What is this Your Honor stuff all of a sudden? What do you want, the con man?
Oh, well, the other day I happened to be driving through your charming community admiring the lovely scenery, and just as I was leaving, a plug ugly dressed in a policeman's uniform appeared from nowhere.
Well, you got a ticket, huh?
Yes, and I...
You want me to fix it, huh?
Well, I rely entirely
Frank,
on
you. Did you see the jail in Tarzana?
No.
You will. Good day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with one of the most...
I just wanted to make your town famous.
By speeding?
No, my boy. I see you're not interested, so I'll just take the Morgan Enterprises elsewhere.
What enterprises?
Well, I imagine the town of Azusa will be clean.
What enterprises?
The Morgan Breeding Farm for Broodmares, with air-conditioned stalls for stallions and finishing schools for fillies.
Do you have gymnasiums for jackasses?
No, but if you'll come over, you can exercise in the pasture. It may interest you to know that only yesterday I returned from Louisville where I was preparing for the 65th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Can you run a mile and a quarter?
If the track is fast, I'd... Stop trying to confuse. I had a horse entered in the Derby that could have won it running backwards carrying 200 pounds.
What's the name of the horse? Frank?
He's a blooded thoroughbred, Bob. Foaled on my own farm and registered under the name of Sunnybee. Out of Pomona, my greyhound bus.
Afraid I'll have to check that pedigree, I know. Look him up in the timetable.
Well, he's a remarkable horse, and it's too bad I had to scratch him from the Derby.
Frank, why aren't you going to let him run?
Well, he's suffering from a very rare affliction.
Don't tell me he's got spavin of the glanders.
He's
Could it be a fluvian of the fetlock?
The fetlock flugie with the foist. you know something about horse diseases?
Well, you don't think I opened the Bel Air stables without any preparation, do you, Frank? Oh. Well, I took horse medicine for 3 years.
Well, I hope you feel better. But that's neither here nor there. My little Sonny Bee is suffering from a mental condition.
Mental condition?
Yes, she's allergic to feathers.
What's that got to do with the Derby?
Well, she has a sneezing fit every time she gets near Churchill Downs. Oh. Thought you had me that time, didn't you?
Oh, listen, Frank, you're not fooling anybody. Nobody thinks you've ever seen a horse or been anywhere near Kentucky.
I'll have you know, sir, that I grew up in the great horse country of Kentucky, where a thoroughbred mare is more sacred than the white elephant of Siam. Yes, sir. The dewy blue grass of old Kentucky is in my heart, my soul, and my veins.
He means he's full of wet hay.
Now, that's the last straw. Oh. Well, I guess I'll be...
Oh, don't go, Frank. I want to hear about the Siamese elephant.
Siamese elephant? Is there no one here who is a lover of horse flesh?
Well, I like it pretty well, Frank, but there's no use kidding. It ain't as good as pork.
Meredith, Frank is not lying about meat. He's lying about racehorses.
I am not. For the past 10 generations, the Morgans have been horsey. I'm a direct descendant. I'm a direct descendant of Lady Godiva on the horse's side. I mean, my father's side.
Gee, this is interesting.
My great-grandfather, Snapple Morgan, was the smoothest of the Rough Riders. His brother, Crupper Morgan, led the charge of the Light Brigade at Balalaika.
The two brothers were 100 years apart?
Well, it was a very large family. In the next generation, my great-uncle, Aintree Morgan, was the first jockey to win the English Derby. He invented the practice of giving the horse a hot foot at the beginning of the stretch. And his son, Crafty Morgan, won the first Hambletonian at Goshen by installing a diesel engine in his sulky. I haven't been feeling well all day.
Well, you look fine, Frank. Don't stop.
Well, all my ancestors were great horsemen except my cousin, Saddle Soap, who was the black sheep of the family.
What did he do?
He ran a merry-go-round.
Horseradish.
The most adventurous of all my forebears was my great-great-uncle, Feedback Morgan, the hero of the Pony Express.
A postman?
My boy, the story of the Pony Express is the most romantic saga of the 19th century. For 15 years, the daring riders ran the mail across the wild territory of the West, braving incredible hardships of desert, mountain, and forest.
That's right. I saw William S. Hart do it. Were they always on time, Frank?
Never varied more than 10 seconds in a 300-mile ride from Chicago to Salt Lake City, with only two stops in between.
What were the stops?
Well, they changed horses at Baked Potato, Idaho, and pants at Oyster Fork, Wyoming. But the most remarkable ride in the history of the Express was my Uncle Feedback's first trip west. The Platte River was over its banks. There were forest fires in Idaho and an Indian uprising in Arapaho Badlands. Did Feedback hesitate?
Well, did he?
No. He was anxious to make a good impression on his first trip, so at exactly the time scheduled for his departure, he vaulted onto his horse and began spurring the animal madly westward. Imagine his chagrin when 10 minutes later, he discovered he was still tied to the hitching post.
Get him loose, Frank. Get him loose.
He was loose in a jiffy and off in a trice. By the time his horse had forded the swollen Platte, bag was 3 hours late. But that was nothing compared with the dangers that lurked on the Idaho border.
Redskins?
Yes. Exactly. He had crossed an arroyo and was heading up the gulch when he was greeted by a cloud of arrows from the bows of a savage Indian tribe.
Sue?
No, it was no time for litigation. Speedbag flattened himself on his horse's neck and thundered on with war hoofs at his heels.
What about his relief horse?
He was on relief. He stuck to his first horse and plunged through the smoke and flames of the forest fire. Man and beast suffocating and tortured by the terrific heat.
Didn't he have a wet blanket with him?
On a trip like that, a man doesn't take his wife. He suffered the hardships too numerous to mention, but needless to say, old Feedback Morgan arrived in Salt Lake City precisely on scheduled time and fell exhausted from his horse right in front of the post office.
Gee, what a trip.
Oh,
did they give him a medal?
No, they hung him. He left the mail in Chicago.
Well, so long.
Hey, where are you going, Buffalo Bull?
Well, I'm applying for a job as cowboy on Sally Rand's nude ranch.
Warren, seems to me I catch a very familiar fragrance in the air.
Right you are, Bob. It's coffee time again at Maxwell House. Time for our moment's relaxation over a fragrant, steaming cup of that satisfying coffee. But friends, before we invite you to join us tonight, I want to say just one thing. You know, May 8th to May 14th is National Restaurant Week. Good food, your pleasure, and your satisfaction are the ideals of the restaurant industry. So the makers of Maxwell House are happy to join the thousands of better restaurants in bringing National Restaurant Week to your attention. And right now, friends, we're ready for our own cups of Maxwell House tonight. So won't you pull up your chairs and join us?
Myrna Loy, here's the very first cup of the evening for you. Here's yours, Robert Taylor. Is everyone served? Sugar? Cream? Now, Meredith, pour out the music.
We pause briefly for station identification.
KFI, Los Angeles. This is Bob Young again, ladies and gentlemen, and we continue our Maxwell House Good News program with Myrna Loy, Robert Taylor, Connie Boswell, and Baby Snook. Meredith Wilson opens our second half with an old favorite, Listen to the Mockingbird. Meredith tells me that his arrangement is in the form of a musical debate, classic versus swing. MGM Theater of the Air presents Robert Taylor and Myrna Loy in several scenes from their new picture, Lucky Night.
Lucky Night.
Myrna Loy plays the part of Cora Jordan, the daughter of a wealthy steel magnate who has always had every luxury that money can buy. But Cora is not thrilled by the rich young men in the millionaire Long Island set. And so, encouraged by her father, she decides to seek adventure and possibly romance by trying to find a job. She will not let her father help her, and so at the end of several weeks, she has been unable to find work of any kind. Even though she's pretty much at the end of her rope, she's unwilling to admit defeat or ask her father for help. We see her now strolling through Central Park. Too tired to go any farther, she slumps down on the first bench that catches her eye. On the other end of the bench is Bill Overton, played by Robert Taylor.
Hello. You got a cigarette?
No, I haven't. And there are lots of other benches around here.
Darling, I'm not trying to pick you up. I'm too tired to move. You here for the night?
Do they let you?
Yeah, sometimes. How long have you been looking for a job?
Years.
A long time.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What's your name?
Cora Jordan.
Cora Jordan. Haven't I heard of you?
My father's a foundry man. He makes bridges, you know.
Sure. Hey, what's this all about, Cora?
I'm on my own.
The old man kick you out?
No, I'm just on my own. But really, I have no more connection with my father than you have. Who are you?
Bill Overton.
Should I know you?
No. There isn't a bridge in my family, Cora. The last job I had broke my record, lasted 3 weeks.
What was it?
I was a diver.
Gosh. What do you get for a job like that?
I got the bend. You ever had them?
Never did.
Well, don't. I got one claim to fame, however. I never won a bet in my life.
You jump around all right. You had me in the sea, and now I'm at the track.
You hear what I said? I never won a bet in my life.
I heard you.
Well, you're letting it ride by without much.
What? You never did?
Worth that, isn't it?
What? You never did?
No, never. Boys got me on a cuff, and I don't get off until I pay them, so I got to go to work again.
Well, you think you'll cover the ground.
You completely broke?
Not a nickel.
I had a nickel this morning. Like a sucker got away from me.
Then you're crazier than I am, Bill.
Hey, look at that neon sign above that restaurant.
E-A-T. Eat.
Eat. When did you last?
This morning.
You're hungry?
Aren't you?
Well, I probably couldn't do this if I were alone, but when a lady wants to eat...
What are you going to do?
Just sit tight. Here comes a man. Pardon me, mister. Have you got a half a dollar that isn't working?
Not today, buddy.
A half a dollar?
What's the matter? Too steep?
You might as well ask for $50.
You think so, huh? Okay. Listen, old man, will you let me have $50?
You bet. How'll you have it?
Doesn't work either. Now, watch me this time. Hey, listen, old man, I wonder if I could hold you up for a quarter.
With a gun, maybe.
Great work.
Hey, are you the nut that's asking people for $50?
Oh, no, officer. All we're trying to get is 50 cents. My friend and I are terribly hungry.
Down and out, eh?
Not at all, officer. We expect to go to work tomorrow. But we're so hungry tonight, it's hard waiting.
You two married?
No, but we're engaged. Don't we look it?
Well, I hate to see a young couple hungry. I'd like to have 50 cents, and if you get to work and pay me back. I'm here in the park.
Oh, officer, we never really could repay you, no matter how much we gave you.
That's all right. Eat hearty.
Thank you, officer.
Thank her. You got a nice girl there.
Hear that? Come on, darling, let's eat.
Well, that ought to last us until tomorrow night, or anywhere until we can find another cop.
Whoever gets a job first is stuck for the next dinner.
Yeah. What are you going to do after you leave here?
Got to find a place to sleep.
Well, I thought we'd go back to our office in the park and ask the cop for a couple of pillows.
Maybe I'll meet you tomorrow night. I think we can do better than this place. Yeah. Maybe I'll hold up a lieutenant and we'll dine at the Ritz. Pay the waiter and let's go.
Okay. What do we owe you, buddy? 50 cents?
Just right.
Tough as it wasn't. What a tip this guy's going to get.
We'll sort of slide out.
Hey, you didn't give me that money, did you?
Sure I did. Don't tell me that. Don't you remember? I gave it to you crossing the street.
Yeah, I must have been crazy to take it. I couldn't hang on to a piece of change. I haven't got it. I must have lost it.
How could you lose it?
You don't know me. No, I haven't got it.
Hmm. You got any more ideas?
How's your wind?
Rotten. If I ran across the street, I'd drop dead.
What's the matter, buddy?
Nothing. We changed our minds. We'll have some more coffee.
Okay.
Looks like we're going to sleep in jail.
Oh, wait a minute. See that guy over there leaving that 10-cent tip?
Oh, I see what you mean. The waiter will think it's a half dollar.
Grab it and stop arguing.
I've got it.
Now, look behind you.
A slot machine?
Yeah.
Here's a dime. Go to it, lad.
Oh, no, not me. You're going to do it. I couldn't open it with a hatchet.
Well, wish me luck, pal.
If I wish your luck, it'd explode.
But I'm not lucky.
Go on. It's our one chance. That's enough. That's enough. Oh, boy. Waiter, waiter, here's your money.
Well, I'll be... Well,
come on, Cora. You take the money. Let's go.
Now I've got to be running along.
Well, you can't leave me yet, Cora. The night's young and there's a feeling in the air and it's singing pretty. You know what we're going to do?
Nothing can surprise me now.
How much dough we got left?
Let's see. 60 cents.
Yeah, where are we? 33rd, huh? A dime for a bus, and then we start our fortunes at Monte Carlo.
With 50 cents?
That's what we started with. Do you realize how lucky we were to lose it?
You want to carry this money?
Oh, no. We'll need that 50 cents. We have to buy a chip.
Oh, we're going to start with a little roulette.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there's a joint called the Play Palace about a mile downtown. Here comes the bus. Come on, every minute counts.
How can you play with 50 cents? Don't be crazy.
Penny roulette. We'll make about 10 bucks there and then hop to higher field.
It's the gayest joint in the world. Let's dance.
Dance? We're here on business.
Am I crazy? Where's the wheel?
Right over here. 50 cents worth, mister.
All red.
What's the matter with blue?
The lady says red.
All right, get this shirt on.
We intend to. All right, Cora, put your numbers on it. Put your chips on the number.
I got it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bill, let's listen to what he says on the loudspeaker.
Those of you who have not yet bought a $2 ticket for this magnificent car have 5 minutes left to do so before we have the drawing. Then the winner will be announced, and he drives away in it tonight.
Do we want it?
Do we want it? We sleep in it. We can't sit out in the office all night, can we?
Office? Office?
The park. Hey, Cora, will you believe me once and for all if I tell you something?
What do you mean?
Will you let me do the thinking after this?
Well?
Well, don't talk any more about leaving me tonight. It just wouldn't be romantic.
And tell me, please, what you think would be romantic.
Roam around town all night and win dough.
Oh, that's all right. And then our new car?
What do you think I'm saying?
And the number is 34 and red.
That's us.
Look, the raffle started. One ticket, please.
We just got in under the wire, brother.
The little lady will now draw a number from the hat.
We are crazy.
Number 666 wins the sedan.
Oh, we lost. I can't believe it.
I can't either, dear, because we've won.
No, dear, look, we got 999.
No, dear, you have it upside down. It's 666.
I repeat, 666. Is the winner in the room? Is the winner in the room? Step up, please, if you are.
Yes, right here.
Come on, Cora, let's drive it away.
Let me through here. Will you let me through, please?
Well, how do you like it?
Wonderful.
Hey, wait a minute.
Am I going too fast? What's the matter?
No, where do you think we're going now?
Nowhere special.
Let's pull in here. We came out here to get 10 bucks, and we're joyriding instead of attending to business. Let's get down to earth.
How right you are, boy. Can I park here?
How much we got left?
33 cents.
33. Yeah, let's think now. Now, look, you've heard of a guy called Dusty Sawyer.
Big gambler?
Yeah, the biggest. Now, that's our destination. That's the big dough, and that's how we get rich before morning.
I see. We work our way up in the world.
Yeah, only it seems I owe Dusty 500 bucks. So I need a little folding money to get in with, see?
Folding money?
Yeah. Now, then, the only friend I've got left in this town is a guy called George.
George what?
I never found out. Just George. He runs a pretty slick little restaurant. He's a pretty slick fella. Incidentally, all I owe him is 200. What's that?
Why, it's nothing.
Nothing.
He practically owes you money.
Well, I'm afraid if we went around to collect, he's not quite that romantic. In fact, George refused me credit, too, but at least I can go in there without getting kicked out.
I see the point. We go from here to George, pay him with our Duesenberg, maybe get a few hundred more, and then embark to Dusty's.
Is my mind an open book?
We think the same. After we've cleaned up at Dusty's, George will sell us the car back, won't he?
Sure he will.
Oh, I love it. I'd pay anything to get it back. What time is it?
I had a fine watch once.
The clock on the dashboard says 9 o'clock. It has everything. I hate to give it up for even an hour. What was that?
Hey, look, there's a guy running up the street with a gun in his hand. He's coming this way.
Get going, sister. Get going. I'm hanging on the running board.
But
get going, I tell you. And don't you try to get funny, mister. Come on. Come on. Get going. Faster. Faster. And don't try to pick me off the running board or I'll fuck you, hear?
Try as fast as you can, Cora, and take the next turn to the left. Now do as I say. I'll open the door and swing him right off the car.
Here goes.
Turn here. That did it. He fell off and he's out cold. Stop the car. All right, I got you, buddy. No use struggling.
Hey, what's going on here?
Is this a friend of yours, officer?
Huh? I'll say he is. We've been trying to pick this guy up for 3 weeks. And you'll be getting a reward for him, too. $250.
Oh, come on. Let's go cut the chatter.
Lad, your luck's worse than mine was before I met Miss Lucky Star. Of all the cars in New York, you have to take ours. You couldn't win.
After posting claim for the reward, which they are to collect in a few days, Bill and Cora drive to George's place to try and borrow $200. They have just been seated at the table as George comes up to meet them.
George, this is Miss Lucky Starr.
Hello, George.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Starr.
Now, here's the dope. I owe you $200, right?
Don't tell me you're going to pay it.
Now, take it easy. I've come here to borrow $250.
Oh, well, that's more like it. You won't get it, but I don't like shock.
George, this is one of those nights you read about. Never happened. Anyway, listen. Miss Starr and I have just made $250. It seems we were riding down the street and we captured a bandit. And if you don't believe me, call up Lieutenant Murphy at the 51st Street Police Station.
Hey, you're not drunk, are you?
Now, here's where you come in. Out of the 250, you get your two. Whereupon you give me 250 now, and Miss Starr and I go right over to Dusty's and run it up to the sky, where she lives.
In fact, George, you won't have to wait for the reward. We can pay you when we come back tonight.
Well, sure we can.
Now, wait a minute. Just a moment.
But, George, there's nothing to wait about. You believe me?
Yeah, I know, but...
But, George, Bill's word is his bond. I've never known him to go back on his word in all my life. Please, we won't fail you.
Okay. I'm nuts, but that's the way I am. Here's the dough.
Come on, pal. On to Dusty's to make a million.
Listen, I said a dozen times you ain't getting in here.
Dusty, that's the main grief of a man having money owed to him. A guy owes a butcher bill. He gets a little cash. What happens? The butcher shop across the street gets it. It isn't fair, Dusty.
And he's got $250. Why shouldn't you get it? Huh? Why should somebody else get it just because he owes you five?
Well, pretty smooth talkers, both of you. Okay, come on in.
Hey, where's the dough?
Oh,
I still got it.
Let me at those tables.
The lady through 11.
The lady lets it ride.
In a brand new car.
You did it again. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Well, I'll just take this dough. Now, that's that. We're even. If you have any more, keep on rolling. If not, grand.
Hey, wait a minute, Dusty.
No, I ain't waiting anymore. I got it.
You can't get away with that, Dusty.
Oh, no? Come on, scram, fella, and take this dame with you.
Don't call my girl a dame.
What are you going to do about it?
This.
Hey, Tom. Lefty, throw this guy out. Come on.
Okay, boy.
You will come out.
You will
come out.
You can't do this to me.
I'm down.
Take your hands off me.
Break your neck.
Give it to him.
I'll scratch your eyes out.
Open the door, Lefty.
You big ape.
Maybe that'll teach you a lesson, wise guy.
Cora, are you all right, pal?
Oh, they kicked us out, did they? Let's go back and wreck the joint.
Cora, that's no good.
You find me too rough to play with?
Oh, don't change.
Oh, Bill, we're broke again.
That's all right. I got another idea. Come on.
Friends, I've seen Myrna's and Bob's new picture, Lucky Night, and believe me, it's grand entertainment. I know you'll thoroughly enjoy it. Congratulations, Myrna Loy and Bob Taylor, producer Buddy Lighton, and director Norman Toroff. Now, Connie Boswell again. This time she sings a new tune by those two grand songwriters, Bert Magic Kalmar and Harry Baseball Ruby. It's called Ain't You Coming Out.
To the tale of a troubadour, not the ordinary kind that we all know. This one is a different kind of Romeo. Each night at 8, under a window he'd wait. He would look up and shout, "Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?" He never played music for his serenade. He just looked up and shout, "Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?" He couldn't strum a guitar, a banjo or mandolin. He couldn't sing la la la. He couldn't whistle or hum. He'd
just come there and shout. Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?
Ain't you coming out tonight?
Now the monkey birds are singing and the moon is shining bright.
The roses are swaying in the breeze.
Put on your Sunday go to meet and call and come along, please. Oh,
he's nine and eight. Under her window,
he kept waiting every night at eight, and then he would look up and shout,
ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?
Oh, lady, won't you please come out?
He never played. For his seven,
he couldn't sing a single thing. All he did was look up and shout.
Ain't you coming out?
Ain't you coming out?
Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?
He couldn't strum a guitar. Then Joe on mandolin. He couldn't sing. La la la.
La, 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 la.
He couldn't whistle or hum. He just come there and shout. Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out? Ain't you coming out?
Darling, I am growing old.
Why don't you hurry, honey? Hurry and come out.
Honey, that was wonderful. And now...
Excuse me, Bob.
Oh, hello, Daddy. What's on your mind?
Well, there's a little favor I was going to...
Does Snooks want to recite again?
Oh, no, no. Nothing like that.
Now, I want to sing.
Oh, well, that's something you'll have to take up with Meredith.
Who is he?
Meredith Wilson, Snooks. He leads the orchestra.
Where is he, Daddy?
Right there.
Why has he got that bird nest on his head?
Oh, Snooks, that's not a nest, that's his hair.
What's this? What's this?
Oh, Meredith, I wonder if you'd mind playing a song for Snooks, if he wants to sing.
Oh, I'll be glad to. What do you want to sing, Snooks?
Three Little Fishies.
Okay. Any particular key?
Huh?
Oh, no, Meredith, you just play it and she'll struggle through.
All right. Ready, Snooks?
Mm-hmm.
Hit it, boys.
Down in a meadow in a little sweet pool swam three little fishies and a mama fishy too. Swim, said the mama fishy, swim if you can. And they swam and they swam all over the dam. Boop, boop, sit them down and want them, shoot. Boop, boop, sit them down and want them, shoot. Boop, boop, sit them down and want them, shoot. And they swam and they swam all over the dam. Stop, send the mama fishy, or you'll get bored. But the three little fishies didn't want to be bored. So the three little fishies went all on three. And they swam right out to the sea. Both folks did them by and want them, too. Both folks did them down and want them, too. Both folks did them want them, too. And they swam, and they swam right out in the sea.
Friends, if you want really delicious coffee on your table, don't neglect any detail that will help you make it perfect. First of all, of course, you want a really fine blend, and then a perfect roast. With Maxwell House, you get both these important qualities that make a rich, smooth, satisfying cup of coffee. But there are other things that you can do which will add great pleasure to your coffee drinking. Make sure you use the right grind for your coffee-making method. Remember, no one grind is right for everything. That's why Maxwell House provides you with two grinds that are scientifically correct for the two different principles of coffee making. You see, when you make coffee correctly in a drip pot or glass coffee maker, the water passes through the coffee only once. That means the coffee you use must be ground finer, more uniformly, so so all the full coffee flavor and goodness can be extracted quickly. For that method, you need the special drip grind Maxwell House to give you clear, sparkling, full-flavored coffee every time. Now, if you use the percolator or boiled method, you know that the water comes in contact with the coffee not once, but many times. So for this, you want the regular grind Maxwell House, which will stand up in the brewing and keep your coffee clear and free from muddiness. So if you want to know real coffee-drinking pleasure, just try a pound of this new Maxwell House tomorrow. If your family is a large one, you'll find extra economy and convenience in the 2-pound can. And with your very first delicious taste, we know you'll see why millions of people are saying that the new Maxwell House is now, more than ever, the coffee that's good to the last drop.
Concert Hall presentation tonight, Meredith Wilson has selected one of the most popular rhapsodies ever written. Perhaps many of you will not recognize its title, but we believe all will recognize and enjoy the melodies of Carl Friedman's famed Slavisha Rhapsody.
Thank you.
week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have another star-studded good news program for you, with Connie Boswell and the famous columnist Ed Sullivan as our special guest. Mr. Sullivan will take the members of our cast in on one of the famous tours he calls Water Under the Bridge. And the highlight of this feature will be our own Fanny Bryce singing My Man, just as she did when she introduced it in the Ziegfeld Follies. The regular gang will be here, too, so I know you won't want to miss this show. See you next Thursday, and in the meantime, go to the movies and take the family with you. Goodbye, Mr. Chips. The motion picture Walter Winchell says is destined to make movie history will have its Eastern premiere at the Astor Theater in New York and on the Pacific Coast at the Four Star Theater in Los Angeles on the night of Monday, May the 15th. This is Bob Young saying goodnight. Warren Howell saying good night and good luck for the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.